beautiful, friends. Thank you. Welcome to the third Sunday of Advent here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm really happy to see all of you. I have a slew of announcements here. If you wouldn't mind signing the friendship register in your pew, this red book. We've moved from the I wish cards, and these help us a little bit more. And also, the 2022 envelopes are on the back table. If yours aren't there, please see Carol. There will also be our Christmas party next week, right after church. I also want to remind everyone that we will have a new worship time starting January 2nd. Service will start at 10:30, starting in the new year. There will be a Christmas Eve worship service at 7 p.m. So I'd love to see all y'all there. All yins, sorry. There is also a sign up for poinsettias in the back. And then finally, today is the candle. We light the candle of joy. And following worship, I would like you to help me out in lighting the Advent wreath at the back of the church. Write down what gives you joy or how you express joy on the yellow sticky notes and help light that. And if you weren't here the other weeks and you'd like to help light those candles, feel free to light the love and hope candles as well. Are there any other announcements? I can't imagine there are any other announcements that I missed. Anyone? We're good?
Kristen.
Yeah?
The angel tree gifts have to be here by next week. We will deliver them.
Okay. Angel tree gifts need to be here by next week, and that's when they will be delivered. You feel good? Everyone? Yeah? All right. With all of that, friends, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon the holy name of the Most High God.
The Lord is our strength and our salvation.
Proclaim the mercy of the one who comes as one of us.
The Lord is our strength and our salvation.
Trust and do not be afraid.
The Lord is our strength and our salvation.
With joy, you will draw water from wells of peace.
The Lord is our strength and our salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in our opening hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Thank you. let us gather together in our prayer of confession. In your presence, Holy God, we confess that we need repentance. We have broken your commands against adultery. We do not live in peace with your creation or your people. We have not trusted your word, and we are afraid. Forgive us, restore us, and turn our shame into praise. For the sake of the one who proclaims the good news, and for the sake of all the world. Amen. In the name of the one God who lives and moves among us, you are forgiven. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. Do not worry. Live in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Our faith together by reciting the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
We listen for the wonders of God's word.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
During Advent, we reach beyond the noise and distraction of the world.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
During Advent, we ponder the good news that is our great joy.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
During Advent, we speak words of hope to those engaged in life struggles.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
During Advent, we offer words of peace to those overcome by life's fears.
Speak to us, O Lord, for our hearts are open.
Today we light three candles. The first calls us to behold the wonder of the season in a fresh way. In a world where too often the familiar becomes complacent, Advent is a time to ponder the mystery of God's amazing love. The second candle invites us to hear again the ancient prophets that is like the flame in the darkness, illuminates our world, inspires faith, and guides our journey. As we light the third candle, we affirm that Advent is the time to hear again the still small voice calling us to behold God's promise and embrace the gift of our Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Gracious God, as we continue our Advent journey, we pray that we would be guided by your grace, strengthened by your faith, and encouraged by Christ. Gracious God, as we continue the Advent journey, we pray that we would be guided by grace, strengthened by faith, and encouraged by Christ. With the many distractions surrounding us daily, keep our eyes focused on your glory, our ears attentive on your word, and we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us gather together our prayers. Please pray with me. Lord of life, you call us to prepare the way for your reign by bearing fruit worthy of repentance. You lift up a vision before us of a world that is shared and fair, where needs are met and no one is outcast. We pray for the nations of the world, for their leaders and their people. Make yourself known to us all, that all the peoples of earth may live in justice and peace. We pray for your church here and abroad, that we hear your call for justice as good news for all people. We pray for peace in our world, especially those caught in war and those who live in fear. We pray for those suffering from natural disasters, especially those in Kentucky, Missouri, and Illinois following powerful tornadoes this week. We pray for those who are disabled, oppressed, or outcast among us, as well as the frail, the sick, and those whose hands grow weak. Please change their pain into praise. We thank you for the earth from which we draw our health, our strength, our inspiration, as well as all of those prayers you have answered to place joy in our hearts. Especially for Kathy's sister and brother-in-law who were released from the hospital following COVID treatment. We please continue to pray for their health and healing. Surely, God, we can trust in you and not be afraid. Lead us in songs of praise and shouts of joy, for you are in our midst. We pray through the one who baptizes us not only with water, but with the Holy Spirit, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able to join in our hymn of praise, Shout to the Lord. given to us through our tithes and offerings.
Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. I will say to that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for through you were anger with me. Your anger turned away, and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great is in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Bless the words of the gospel. Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and joyous in your sight. Amen. So the third and fourth weeks of Advent are two of my favorite times in the Christian calendar. Today, we lit the rose or the pink candle of joy. And next week, we will light the Advent candle of peace. Just a little warning here, I do have a lot to say about joy. If any of you have ever received a letter or an email from me, you might have noticed that my sign-off is peace and joy. You see, peace and joy are two of the words that really describe my faith. Part of my intent with that sign-off is to invite everyone else to experience the peace and joy that I have found in Christ. At the very least, I hope I can bring a little bit of the peace and joy that the Holy Spirit has filled me with to those whom I come across. And I know that really takes more than just a few words following a single interaction. So my sign-off also serves as a reminder to me. It reminds me why I'm here, why I do what I do, and to make sure that my actions and communication matches those sentiments. It doesn't always, but I really try. Today we hear about joy from the prophet Isaiah, and I brought my Hebrew mug today just so we can get into it. We're not going to get deep into Hebrew, don't worry. We hear about joy from the prophet Isaiah. He's one of the major prophets from the Old Testament. And we're pretty sure that this scripture was written about the Babylonian exile, probably around 500 BCE. And the first chapters of Isaiah sort of fluctuate between these dire predictions of destruction and these profound promises of salvation. There's this sinful nation, these people who have forsaken the Lord. And Isaiah has some pretty harsh words about the people's inability to keep the covenant and abandoning God in favor of idols. But Isaiah also proclaims that God will provide salvation for God's recalcitrant and wayward people. Christians often look back at the prophet Isaiah to understand more about Jesus. And there are some scholarly disagreements about exactly who or what Isaiah is referring to. But most of us understand Isaiah 11, the verse just before our passage for today, as foretelling the arrival of Christ. And this is where the prophet describes the Messiah as the shoot that shall come out of the stump of Jesse. And there's also a description of the peaceable kingdom, the lion laying with the lamb, over which the coming Messiah will reign. There's clearly an expression of joy, both now known and anticipated in our scripture today. So chapter 12 of Isaiah anticipates a celebration when they return to Israel from their Babylonian exile. And some of this language is similar to the celebrations we read about in regards to the Exodus from Egypt. Isaiah invites us to move beyond this present time of exile that we're in and move towards this joyful anticipation and expectation of salvation through God's work. That sounds a little familiar. I mean, we've been talking about Advent being a time of anticipation and expectation. We're waiting for Jesus, the one who redeems and restores God's people. So Isaiah 12 is it's a prophetic song. There's six verses, and it's structured around the prophecy about God's glorious work and this upcoming reign of God's king. And the first half speaks to an unnamed single person. And I found it kind of weird that the first verse isn't in the lectionary, but I thought it was important to really give a full picture, and so I added it last minute. Thank you for adding that last minute. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. This person has experienced God's anger, but now enjoys God's reconciliation. Even though God does get angry and rebukes us when we stray from righteous paths, we are sinners, after all. The anger is always brief and never prevents God's compassion. Verse 2 begins with emphasis. The Hebrew word is hana. If you know anyone named Hannah, greet them as behold from now on. But it starts with this emphasis. Surely, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. This song exudes confidence about being reconciled to God through this coming Messiah. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. The grace of God, as well as salvation, form this constant running fountain, this deep well from which the believer draws. It's a life-giving water. It's deep. It never ends. God's grace is not a one-time thing. It recurs repeatedly throughout a person's, even a community's life. It's possible that this refers to an actual ritual that celebrates God as a fountain of living water, and we see references to that in some other prophets, where God's love and power are available to anyone who's thirsty, whether they're a believer or not. And there would have been joyous festivals, raucous singing and dancing and celebrating. In the second half of Isaiah's song, there's a shift in the Hebrew from the singular to the plural. And that's with the English you, that's hard to determine, right, in translation, but trust me, it's plural. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud, sing for joy. Basically, what began as an individual's excitement now becomes the whole community's excitement. What started as a charge to praise now expands to the whole community's responsibility. God's salvation is simply too glorious to be kept only within the Israelite community. The joy about God increases in volume. Sing, believing community. God has done glorious things. The singing escalates to shouting. The desire of a godly community is that God's goodness become known to all humankind so that they may also call upon God and join in this singing, shouting, praising, thanking, and worshiping. We, as God's people, face a fun and fulfilling future, exalting God's great name. God's King will reign. What started as an individual's joy eventually will be experienced by everybody. I'll be honest with you, I know rejoicing isn't easy. The concept of joy, it's often manipulated by advertisers, religious leaders, politicians, people who just want our money, our loyalties, our votes. And I don't blame any of you if you're skeptical about this joy thing. The world is a really scary place. There's violence in our schools and devastating tornadoes and economic and political instability. It really feels like we're just putting our heads in the sand to espouse joy right now. And furthermore, Christians, especially American Christians, don't really have a great track record when it comes to balancing a commitment to joy with a sensitive and holistic response to the world's pain. Too often, we're known for exhibiting and even demanding from others this Pollyanna-ish cheerfulness, something that refuses to look at the complexities of life. We mistake this lament for unfaithfulness, and we behave as if our faith and even our God is too fragile to handle life's dark side without a generous side serving of grinning and laughing emojis. That's not what Isaiah is saying here. Remember, he's speaking to an exiled people, people who are humiliated by the domination of Babylon. Isaiah's call to joy is forward-facing. It's a call that fully recognizes the terror and pain of his present moment. Yet at the same time, it insists that something infinitely good, restorative, and salvific is on the horizon. God will not abandon the beloved. Exile will not define reality forever. There will be a return. To rejoice in a time of exile, then, is to insist that God is present, active, faithful, even when circumstances suggest otherwise. Joy in this context is, it's a muscle that we need to exercise, a practice that we should honor, a discipline that we should cultivate. We don't have to deny the fear or the pain or the destruction that's in our midst. What joy requires is the courage to trust in a God who promises us deliverance. And I really like the linking of joy with longing, with ache, with a deep desire. Joy is longing for this rescue, while at the same time compelling us to participate in God's work. It's a longing that drives us to enact peace and joy in every way that we possibly can, while also admitting our desperation, our helplessness, our urgent need for a Savior. So this third Sunday of Advent, Joy Sunday, let there be shouts of praise and hope. Let there be laughter and joy. But don't let it simply be a surface experience, a pretending that all is well when there are, for many, things are not well. Let there be this deep reservoir from which joy can be drawn and tasted. Speak of a joy that sustains, a presence that abides, even in the difficult moments, even on those cloudy days. No, joy doesn't necessarily change our difficult circumstances, but it is a promise that there is a reversal on the way. So let's lean into joy today. peace and joy of Christ to you all. Amen. Let us rise and join in our closing hymn. Isaiah the prophet has written of old. Don't forget to help light the Advent candle in the back. But before we go, let me offer a blessing. Be people of joy. Let joy live in your heart and share the joy of Christ with all you meet. Share joy by seeing the good in each other. Share joy by remembering good times and hoping for good times to come. Share joy by praying for our world. As you go out into the wonder of God's creations, share joy, peace, and hope with those you meet. Amen.
Amen.